Good morning, everyone. I'm going to preach today on 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 20. And I don't know about you, but when I looked up this text, I found it was something that I didn't know very well. And thank you to Arthur for reading it with such kind of passion. That was really good. I don't know whether I'm the first to preach on it. I'm sure I'm not. Absolutely sure I'm not. But I've never heard a sermon on it, and I think it's possible that not many people have looked at it so very closely. And I think we have missed so much. I find the story of David very intriguing. He's described in the Bible as a friend of God, and the Psalms written by him show tremendous spiritual insight and experience of God. And yet we know that he sinned greatly. Most of us are probably familiar with the shameful story of David and Bathsheba. And we're also familiar with the glorious story of David and Goliath, which showed David's deep trust in God. The incident in this chapter, I believe, tells of David's return to a close relationship with the Lord after a very spiritually low time in his life. And I think in order to see this, and see what the text teaches us about our walk with God, we need to look a bit at the background. So I'm going to say a bit about the background. David and his army were on the run and had been living with the Philistines at Gath under King Achish for 16 months. And we need to remember this wasn't the official Israelite army. This was David and his kind of gang of refugees, people who were probably on the run like him. After many years of hiding from King Saul, David had become discouraged and was frightened that Saul would be successful in killing him, which is why he went to the Philistines, the kind of arch enemies of the Israelites. And he knew that Saul couldn't seek him out there. Now, David had in fact sought sanctuary with King Achish before on his own, but become frightened of what the king may do to him. And for that reason, he'd feigned madness. And these are all stories that you can find in 1 Samuel. This time, with his 600-strong army, he wasn't frightened. Now, Achish seemed really pleased to have David. He knew of David's fame and clearly thought he could be of help to the Philistines, especially after David, after going to Achish, pretended he was raiding Israelite towns. He wasn't raiding Israelite towns. He was raiding non-Israelite towns, including that of the Amalekites, who were the people that raided Ziklag. And because he didn't want Achish to know, he was killing everybody, man, women and child, in those towns. So Achish rewarded David for what he thought was invasions against the Israelites, by making he and his men part of his army when they went to fight the Israelites. Achish also made David his bodyguard, a role which would have required David to kill Saul if an opportunity came up in order to protect Achish. Now, David had already turned down killing Saul a couple of times because he was the Lord's anointed and shouldn't be killed by a human being. So you can see why I said that at this point, David was a very low spiritual ebb in his life. And not surprisingly, if you look back over those chapters in Samuel, you'll find that it doesn't say that he consulted the Lord. We're now kind of into chapter 30, and what we find is that the Philistine generals, even though they thought David had been out raiding the Israelites, didn't trust David. Wisely, I think, don't you? And they persuaded the king to send David and his forces home to Ziklag, the town that had been given to them by the Philistines. And that, as we know, is when disaster struck. They travelled 3 days to get to Ziklag. I'm sure they were very tired. I'm sure they were looking forward to getting home to their families and would have been relieved that they didn't have to fight against the Israelites, with whom they still identified, and over whom David later, of course, would be king. in accordance with God's promise. It's all a bit of a mess, really, isn't it? However, when they got to Ziklag, Ziklag was burning, and their families were taken by the raiders, the Amalekites. Despair engulfed them. Verse 4 says, David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength to weep. In addition, we find that David's army threatened to stone David because of the mess that he got them into. And I just want to kind of make a comment there, that the comment about the Amalekites is interesting and further reflects badly on David. They had burned the Israelites' houses, taken away the women and children, but had not killed the women and children, unlike David, who'd killed everyone. So what I want you to kind of see here is that on this occasion, although the Amalekites had a raiding party, they almost hadn't treated people as badly as David had. And I think there's a challenge for us here. Now, we know that David kind of lived life writ large, and his kind of triumphs and his closeness to the Lord was absolutely incredible. And when he sinned very big as well. And I know that we're never likely to have those extremes of behaviour, but I think it's worth our while thinking, how does our behaviour compare to those of the non-Christians around us? I know that there have been times when I've been indifferent sometimes to the sorrow of people around me. Maybe because I don't particularly like them, maybe because I'm preoccupied. And I've known non-Christians that have been more compassionate. And I'm chastened by this knowledge that there are times when people who aren't Christians, who don't profess the Lord, who don't have the Holy Spirit living within them, have treated other people better than I have. And I think that's kind of something that we kind of need to look at. And we need to remember that people will always look at our behaviour as much and possibly more than our words. Now, David's been at a very, very low ebb, but this is where he did a wonderful thing. It says in this chapter that he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We aren't told how he did this, but it's the most wonderful words to read, isn't it? And I'm sure it included repentance for past sins and a remembrance of how God had worked powerfully in his and other people's lives. I'm sure he also reaffirmed his relationship with God. And this, I believe, is the key verse of the passage and the main challenge for us. Do we continually strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Do we take time to be with the Lord in worship, in prayer, in study of the Bible, and in fellowship with others? Do we do that? David strengthened himself in the Lord and everything turned round. He then, in spite of his great grief, in spite of the threat of being stoned by his men, inquired of the Lord what to do next. He took it very seriously. He asked Abithar the priest to bring him the ephod, the high priest's garment, and he asked God whether he should pursue this raiding party and will he overtake them. So though he's under vast pressure from his army, he does not rush to put things right, but speaks to God first. He needed clear guidance quickly, and he got it, that he should go ahead and that he would be successful. And he didn't delay in being obedient. So we can see that David, having been far from the Lord, has now got closer to the Lord. And he's strengthened himself in the Lord. He's now kind of back to where he is. He's kind of spiritually, his most spiritual, trusting God. He's now set on a course to follow God, and his trust is so great that he doesn't feel he has to control events because the Lord is in charge. And I think that also is a message for us, because I don't know about you, but quite often I feel that I need to control events. It's a bit like kind of giving God a bit of help, really, as if he needs it. And I feel I need to control events at times. And I think that shows when I'm trying to do that, that I don't trust him. And I pray that I will have the trust in the Lord that David has in this chapter. Because it is amazing. It is amazing. Even though in the near past he's been a long way from God. And that's another thing for us to learn. If we feel we're far from God, we can come back to God now, today, right now. And if we repent, he will accept us. So David has 600 men in his army, and they'd experienced an exhausting time in recent days. They travelled to Ziklag, which had taken them 3 days, and then suffered emotional trauma because their houses had been burned and their families taken. They now were to go and to defeat the Amalekites. 200, that is a third, were too exhausted to complete the journey. Now, I think at that point that David could have become discouraged again. And I think David could have insisted they went with him. He didn't know how many Amalekites he was going to meet. They had a huge army, and he doesn't know how big the raiding party were. But he could have insisted that they came with him. And they may have objected, they may have mutinied, or they may have come with him and collapsed with exhaustion. However, David was able to be compassionate, and he left them there to look after the supplies, and later he allowed them a share of the spoil. He was able to do that because he had God's promise, and he trusted God, and he knew that the outcome was sure because he trusted God, and that enabled him to be compassionate. And I find that quite amazing. So after the 200 people are left with the supplies, they meet an Egyptian who again David treats compassionately with no need to rush, when you would have thought there'd be all the need to rush. He gives him 3 days to revive. We've got quite a lot of 3 days here, haven't we? Knowing that the Lord is in charge and that he will fulfill the promise given to David. The Egyptian knows exactly where the Amalekites are and takes them to them. And they find they're eating, drinking and reveling. David and his army do have a long day's battle, but they do win and they do recover everything. And this is, I suppose, my last point. David trusted the Lord. He didn't need to control events. He was confident what the Lord would do, and he was able to be compassionate. And then a miracle happened, and this was a miracle of timing, because the Egyptian was able, it says in the text, to lead them straight to the Amalekites. And what I want to say is that when we trust in the Lord, even if events happen that don't look as if they're helping us, even if events happen that really look as if it's going to be difficult for the Lord to do what he said he's going to do, that we know that we need to know that God is in charge. And how he often does things is by providing miracles. And in my experience of God, one of the greatest miracles that he provides time and time for me are miracles of timing. They don't feel like timing to us, but they're miracles of timing. And I'm kind of remembering when I kind of looked at that miracle of timing, that they happened to meet the Egyptian. If David had been in a hurry and left him, they wouldn't know where to go. They happened to meet the Egyptian at the right time, who took them straight to the Amalekites. And when I think of that miracle of timing, it reminds me of Esther. If you've read the book of Esther, there's amazing miracles of timing and influence. And here, there's a miracle of timing. And I think that when we trust the Lord and when we obey the Lord, that if we look out for it, we can see those little miracles, those little things that he's working. And for me, it's often miracles of timing. And I just want to praise the Lord for that, because he's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And that, as you know, comes from Ephesians 3:20. So I want to thank the Lord for this particular chapter, because it shows me how David was able to come back to the Lord after being at a spiritual low ebb, how his life was turned around when he trusted him, and how then God was able to work miracles. And it really shows me how important it is that we make sure that we continually strengthen ourselves in the Lord. So now I'm just going to end with a prayer. Dear Father, keep us from sin when we're discouraged. Help us to trust in you even when we cannot see you working. Lord, may we be Christians who actively seek you with all our heart. Deepen our thirst for the things of God and make us mindful that people are looking to see whether our life matches up to our words. May we reflect the fruit of the Spirit as we go about our daily lives. We thank you, Lord, that you use us to work your purposes out. Lord, strengthen our desire to be obedient to you. Lord, we thank you for your love towards us, your desire, your deep desire to have a relationship with us, and your plan that we live with you for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.